Good afternoon, Acadiana. Welcome aboard Kane Radio's Chip Shots Golf Talk for the next hour or so. Teddy Slimer with you here in the air chair, and we got Kenny Loggins back. Starting up our golf show. Wow, look who's here early. It's Ralph Boxcar Bazaro, my colleague. I'll be able to peg him up right quickly there. So, says we can wait. He has to go to the bathroom, just in case everybody was wanting to know out there. All right, so let's thank our sponsors, and we'll get to the golf stuff in a bit. Of course, our title sponsor, golfballs.com, located in Arnold Boulevard in the shopping center there, right next to Harbor Freights. Everything you want in golf, you can purchase there or order there. Go into their showroom, and you can demonstrate the latest and greatest of their golf equipment from all the top-line golf companies, Ping, Titleist, TaylorMade, you name it. They have it, and you can try it out and hit into their simulator. Maybe buy you a new set of clubs this spring. Treat yourself. Why not? And golf will your golf will only improve with the new set of clubs, right? Of course it will. Golfballs.com, Arnold Boulevard, Lafayette. Appreciate their sponsorship. Of course, our local golf clubs from around Acadiana, St. Mary's, Eagle Ridge, Cane Row, Sugar Oaks, Bellevue, Chaffala. Let's start out with Eagle Ridge. They had the latest edition of the Acadiana Pro-Am. 121 players teed it up. We fought the weather a little bit in the first week, but Douglas got it finished. Doug BR, the tournament director, got it finished in the second week. And the winners were, with plus 15, the first place winner was Ronnie Broussard, Kevin Ledford, James Morris, and Carl Broussard, winning $140 each. Of course, that's redeemable at golfballs.com. What a great blessing to have golfballs.com with all the merchandise they have to hook on with us, piggyback, and let our players go shopping in their store when they win money in the Pro-Am. Second place then was Mark Hooks, Linda Savoie, Paul Carlson, and Ian Ruwaski. They won $100 each, and they were plus 12. In third place with a plus 9 was Dylan Landry, Dan Hidalgo, Paul Walters, and Patrick Darby. $60 each they won. On the individual side, winning $30 each were these players. The A player, Jason Smith. B player, Garrett Terrio. Garrett had a fine round at his home course, a minus 467. Pretty good stuff there. C player, Pat Ainsley, and D player, Michael Michel. And so our next Pro-Am is going to be at Sugar Oaks in Marbaham, coming up probably this coming week. Well, probably not this week, but next week. I hadn't heard from Doug. Doug's been out of town up in Memphis playing golf with some of his former teammates. I'm sure he'll have great stories about that when I get to chat with him. Down at Bellevue, one of the nine-hole courses in our area. Let me peg up Boxcar here. He looks like he's ready.
Yeah.
He's in the driver's seat.
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
That's good news. So, now you're ready, dude.
No.
I hear you popping away. Okay, Bellevue, Thursday shootout, a nine-hole backwards par three contest, and it was a scramble. How do you do a backwards par three contest?
I guess you tee off at the green and hit to the tee box.
Yeah, but I mean par three. I get playing the hole backwards, like you tee off on number five tee and go to number four hole or something or whatever. But par three, I don't know. It's a mystery to me still. Anyway, Brandon Burdett, who else is going to win first place, along with Kurt Waldron. They were three under par, tied for second. Well, second place, old Papa, Ty Burdett, and then Ben. He teamed up with Big Clements.
I mean, did they buy the golf course just so they could have their own tournaments?
Looks like it. They finished first or second. I think it's
every
father-son fight.
I mean, it's incredible.
I'm not through yet either.
Okay.
they're probably having kids as we speak them win.
Yeah.
So finished in third place, Robbie Dardon and Mike Zerlot at even par. Then Sunday they had a shamble, one of my favorite tournaments. I like that very much. So look who got in the first place winner's circle, if we can use a Kentucky Derby term, and knock out the perennial champs was Jamin Bacalera, Darryl Johnson, and J.D. Mayfield. They were minus 11, but they only won by one shot over Brandon Burdett, Tom Mike Burdett. Zerline. Wait, I'm not through. Okay. And David Arbonneau, three-man team.
Oh, then third
finishing
place
in
was
third place was
Ty
drum
Burdett.
Roll, Ty Burdett, Garrett Burns, and Cody James, minus 8. Yeah, I think you're right, Boxcar.
Oh,
they bought that
seen.
Course to just
yeah,
have just their own tournaments.
Yeah, their own tournaments.
Okay, continuing at Bellevue, they really accent closest to the hole. They must give away lots of money for it. So first place in the closest to the hole was
Brandon Burdett.
Burdett.
Okay.
8 feet, 6 inches. Second place, Keith Hodges. Third place, Tommy Womack. Skins, Jamin Vaccarella and Brandon Burdett. They eagled both of the par fives. They give away money for that, so that must
they
be...
They eagled both par fives?
Well, one of them eagled one, and
eagled
the other one.
All right.
So they each won the skins,
okay.
You know, whatever that means. They won $80 each. Pretty good. They supplement their income there. That's why they got that golf course.
Well, yeah, I mean, geez.
Over at St. Mary, their sister nine-hole golf course, championship flight winner was Abram Hartley, first flight winner Jim Williams. And then they had St. Mary's Twilight Tournament on Wednesday, a popular day to do that, as Sugar Oaks does as well. Taylor Bricado, Abram Hartley, and Jackson Mahia won the championship of the Twilight. And then the first flight winners were Ronald Adams, Travis Adams, and Dwayne Boudreau. And then down at Cane Row, they have new specials for their non-members. Twilight special Tuesday through Sunday, every day but Monday, because they close on Monday. So after 3 o'clock, $32. You can get in 18 holes pretty easily if things are working for you. Seniors, 60-plus years old, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, also $32. You need to be a member. Spring's a time to join. So that membership started in April, and they will fix you up with a membership for only $142 a month. You get 20% off of their soft goods, 10% off of their hard goods, and the most important perk that I think you get is you can book your tee time 1 week in advance. And they've been, I shouldn't say even fairly, they've been very busy each day of the week. And booking your tee time assures you the time you can start and finish your round of golf as close as possible so that you're not behind some slow groups and stuff. They also chart your handicap according to the Louisiana Golf Association. And then Raymond Bernard, the president of MGA, they waive your dues for that. And speaking of the MGA, they have a tournament coming up on June 15th. It's going to be a shamble. And it's going to be Stableford, kind of like what we do for our pro-am. And Cane Row is also licensed to sell Raging Cajun logoed merchandise, as they are. Their golf shop continually is being stocked by Ryan Desimo, the head pro there, and he's doing an awesome job of that. And because of that, he's running some specials. buy one, get one free. Johnny O polos and Footjoy polos. All golf gloves, 40% off. Rather, golf shoes, 40% off. Golf gloves, 20% off. Footjaw pants, 30% off, and all hats, caps, and visors, $15. Last Friday, we got some significant amount of rain at all the area golf courses, and Louisiana Troopers Affiliate Golf Tournament, State Troopers Golf Tournament got rained out. Not sure if they rescheduled it, but coming up at Cane Row, bunch of tournaments this Monday, not this Monday, but Monday, May 13th, the Bo Dewey District Attorney Tournament. There's two tee times, 8 o'clock and 1:30. And of course, they have all the perks that most of the big tournaments do with the food and beverage and all that stuff going on out at Cane Row. And then the following weekend, Friday, Saturday, is the Liam McDuff, 4th annual. Hard to believe. It's been 4 years. Liam McDuff Golf Tournament on Friday. The new thing added is a two-man scramble at 1:30. And then Saturday, the traditional three-man scramble at 8 o'clock. And then Saturday afternoon at 1:30, full-man scramble. You can team up on any one of those. The three-man scramble is officially closed as of today. I got the last entry in, as Jim McDuff informed me of that. Of course, they have all kind of other things going on, silent auctions, fun jumps for the kids, raffle, kids' own music, barbecue cook-off. It's a fun day, even if you don't play golf. And then also at Cane Row, Louisiana Golf Association is having a play day, and that's on May 23rd. Two-person scramble. Anyone can play. $95 if you're not a LGA member, and $65 if you are. I believe I'm reading that right. Iberia Chamber of Commerce is having their inaugural golf tournament at Cane Row on Friday, June the 7th. 8 o'clock shotgun start. Four-person scramble, $150 per player. And then down at Sugar Oaks, they're still promoting their 9 or 18 hole Monday and Tuesday, $22. And they're one of the few courses that I always say open on Monday. Wednesday all day special is my favorite, $31. You can play as much as you want and then participate in their Twilight Scramble, which is on Wednesday. So let's look at that. Their most recent Twilight Scramble, May 1st. Olin Granger and Jim McLaughlin, -4, won on a scorecard playoff against Tam Rosemont and Cheryl Granger. Then that Friday, May 3rd, Shambo was rained out. Of course, we got all that rain, as I just mentioned. And then the course was closed all weekend. So Sunday, May 5th, their shootout, they moved over to Eagle Ridge. And Eric Lachelet was happy about that because he made his first ever hole-in-one on hole number 4 at Eagle Ridge. Boom. Bet you bought a lot of drinks for a lot of people there. It was downwind, and he used an A wedge. So winning the A flight, naturally, was Eric Lachelet. He was +5 along with that hole-in-one. And then finishing second, Jason Champagne +2. Tied for third, Tony Bigot and Jerry Foster +1. In the B flight, Robert Burton was +2. He was the winner. Jed Mesh second with +1. And Keith Domains, even poor. And then let's see what else we got here. Oh, the results from their divorced weekend tournaments. One of them Saturday, one of them Sundays. St. Edward School, Pandapalooza. That's where they had that golf ball drop from the helicopter. The closest ball to the helicopter was won by Allison Perron. Furthest from the St. Jude ball was Emily Bodan. And then St. Jude's Hospital got big money from this tournament. Doug Beard and his wife Rhonda teamed up with Jimmy Rogers and his granddaughter, don't know her name, and they won the divorce scramble on Sunday. They had a Calcutta Friday night drawing a bunch of money. The winning team got $432. St. Jude got $648 of that. So big weekend for St. Jude's. And they had a tournament scheduled for Friday as well with the big rain. They got rained out. It was the 4-H tournament, Friday, May 3rd. So we hope they reschedule that. That's a long-standing tournament out at Sugar Oaks. And hope it raises funds for the 4-H kids, and hopefully it gets cranked up at some time in the future. All right, the Lafayette Senior Men's Golf Association. Thanks, Mr. Lawson Rooley, for getting me this info. The second Tuesday of the month is their out-of-town tournament, and it was played at Atchafalaya. First place, John Pierce. Second place, Johnny Carvel. Third place, Bill Ball. And fourth place, Brent Galata. And then their second tournament of the month is on the fourth Tuesday of the month, and it's played at Lafayette Muni, or Abear Muni in Lafayette. The format was individual points. First place, Greg Gautreau +2. Tie for second place, Mike Vaniger and Joey Benoit +1. And then the state high school tournaments were held throughout Acadiana, and it was pretty cool that all four of the divisions, I believe there's only four divisions in golf, were played right here in Acadiana. And a big plus for our golf courses and the business of golf in our area. So let's start out with at the Wetlands. Division 1 was won by Bird with 573. A real close tournament here. Second place went to St. Paul's, 574. And then third place, Catholic High School of Baton Rouge, 575. So only three strokes dividing these three teams. It came down to the wire. Must have been fun to watch. Individual, Kyle Traub of Brother Martin was low with 135. Duke Nittiger of Jesuit was second with 137. My grandson Drew finished down the road a little bit. He shot 144 under par and finished fifth. And so at Kane Road, Division II played, and they got to play all in one day, 36 holes, because they only had one division playing. At the Wetlands, they had two divisions, and I'll announce the other division later. So they played morning and afternoon at the Wetlands. But at Kane Row, St. Thomas More shot 583, and that's a second in 3 years winning the state championship. Finishing second was Turlings at 600. Third place, St. Louis, 607. They were the defending champions. Individually, Dax Rayo of Turlings shot 73-66, 139, and won by five shots over Thomas Oob of St. Thomas More and Cooper Edney of Turlings, both shooting even par, 144. And then at the Forum, some magic happened there. They had the state championship for Division III, and Ascension Episcopal won with 579. It was a close match as well. Second place was Loyola Prep, 582. Third place, Parkview Baptist at 637. But the buzz going around the golf courses was the individual play by one freshman named Noah Chauvin of Ascension Episcopal. He had a bogey-free 36-hole golf tournament at 15 under par. He shot 66, 63, and that 63 is a course record in competition as well as any other play, 129. Future star, looks like, in the golf ranks for junior golfers and hopefully on the collegiate ranks as well. Finishing second, Neil Pilas of Isidore Newman, 73, 68, 141. And then, like I said, at the Wetlands, they had Division IV play in the afternoon as well. Whitman finished at 645, Ouachita Christian 653, Vermilion Catholic 660. Individually, Logan Heltz of Episcopal had a nice 67-70, 137, and Cole Haas of Riverside 68-71, 139. Nice stuff for the junior golfers. And let's see, on the collegiate golf realm, UL finished dismally, if that's a nice compliment, dismal play for this season, as they finished well at the bottom in every tournament they played in. But they did have some success, because Milan Pottinger from South Africa, a junior on the golf team, he won all Sun Belt Conference for the Cajuns. And then with the Cajuns, a hot and spicy golf tournament coming up Tuesday, which is tomorrow, May 7th, out at Oakmont Country Club, and that raises funds for the UL Raging Cajun Athletics across the board. Used to be played at Kane Row, but not anymore. And I skipped this, getting back to Sugar Oaks. The Gator Golf Club, which stems out of Sugar Oaks. Thanks, Bard Booty, for getting me this information. Their most recent tournament was at Atchafalaya. Don Doug DeRees, plus four, won the first flight. And Dwayne Hoffpower, plus 11. Wow, what a round he had, won the second flight. They have nothing scheduled for May. Tamaka Trails in Marksville is going to be in June, and that's a nice trip for the Gator Golf Club, as they usually go spend a little money in the casino, play a practice round, and then have a nice meal and play the tournament the next day. Boxcore, you there?
Yeah, I don't have
You're
any local.
Awfully quiet.
Well, I mean, I'm just kind of watching the master go through the local.
Oh, my God. You're the pro, you know? I'm the amateur when it comes to this side of the mic. The other side of the mic,
so
you know,
are you,
maybe a little different.
Are you playing in the hot and spicy? Or
I'm not hot enough.
Oh, man.
I used to be when I was younger.
I just don't get enough. I just want another ditty bag. But no ditty bag for Boxcar, huh?
Not unless we know someone playing. We could. Anybody out there wants playing in the hot and spicy, get a ditty bag for Boxcore, and we'll reciprocate with you.
Is Theodore playing, or he's not?
No, probably not.
Probably not. Yeah.
Probably doubt it. He's too busy.
I'm surprised it goes to all athletics because I thought it was dedicated to the golf team.
No, that's the Bill Bass. Is,
oh, okay.
Designated for the golf team.
Gotcha.
And, yeah, Dan McDonald helps out a big deal with that. I saw Dan throughout the course of the high school tournaments. He was bouncing around trying to get coverage on all four of the divisions as they were played amongst the Acadiana golf courses. And because of that, he forgot the tee markers and flags at Cane Row. So he came back day and was buzzing around the golf course picking them up. Poor Dan. He wears many caps.
Well, you know, and it is pretty amazing that all these divisions are having their tournaments right here in Acadiana. But, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't get a lot of buzz like it should, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it wouldn't be for our show I mean, you don't see good results in the paper. I'm not sure, but, you know.
Dan's the only one to cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a shame. I listen to some of the other talk shows, you know, in our area,
they
do not cover golf at all. Which
is
a shame because they talk about the same stuff over and over again. And
the Astros game every day. You know?
And the Saints. I mean, you know, I love the Saints like everybody else.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, give us some local stuff. You know,
but
you got high school golf tournaments.
I know.
Please.
I mean,
TV is the same way because I tuned in, you know, and they briefly covered it.
Yeah. It's, I don't know.
Yeah. Strange.
But anyway, so we were carrying the flag, Ted, you know.
Well, good for us.
Waving the banner, right?
There we go. All right. Well, we'll take a break, and then we're back on the other side to talk about some golf on the national scene. Stay tuned.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
Golfballs.com carries the latest selection of golf balls, clubs, and gear from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, and Callaway. Get custom fit in our state-of-the-art golf simulator or shop our selection of high-quality apparel from Vineyard Vine, Southern Tide, and Bad Birdie. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
Chip Shots, Mondays at 5 on the all-new Cane 107.5. Hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
And welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Sliman and Ralph Boxcar Bazaron talking up a little golf. We turn our attention now to some national golf. What's going on outside of Acadiana in the golf world?
Yeah, McKinney, Texas. It was pretty, you know, interesting. I'll put it that way, because you had two guys battling down the stretch who had never won on the PGA Tour before. And, you know, he had a pretty good score posted in the clubhouse, so you kind of wondered if they'd beat that or not. But, you know, I couldn't help but think back to just a little over a week ago, you and I were at the Zurich on that Friday, and we went and watched these guys hit balls in the range, and you were like, who's that guy? Man, his swing is so good. I mean, you know, and it was Ben Coles. And so I texted you or talked to you,
over the weekend.
Said, hey, you boys in contention, you know. And what I didn't know, and I had the, I guess, the odd pleasure of meeting him, like sort of meeting him at a Mexican restaurant in Lafayette.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I told you I have his I have a cap that says Masters of Drinking on it. It looks like a Masters cap.
Oh, that's the guy you were talking about.
Yeah, Ben Cole signed it along with four of his friends. They showed up. I followed him for the final round of the nationwide event, it was nationwide, right? No, it wasn't nationwide. What was it when they folded?
Corn Ferry?
Corn Ferry.
Okay.
So he was in contention and you know, didn't have a real good final round. But I was just sitting there at the bar drinking a margarita, and these golfers, well, I immediately recognized him, you know. Mm-hmm. He and three of his friends, and apparently they were all carpooling together or, you know, riding together, whatever. And so they sat down, ordered, and then the next time I bought him a round of drinks and asked him to sign my cap, you know. So so I was kind of, you know, kind of followed his career kind of semi on and off since then. And, you know, he's 34 years old, but last year was the Corn Ferry Tour Player of the Year. So,
wow. You
know, the guy's got game, yeah. You know. But, man, he choked so bad down the stretch. And Taylor Pendrith from Canada was able to beat him. Cole's, you know, birdied 16 and 17 to take a one-shot lead going into the easiest hole on the golf course, the par 5. And, you know, you were thinking, you know, if he pars, he at least gets into a playoff. Because the one thing I didn't know is how, boy, and it sounds stupid to say short, but in relation to the other players in his group for sure, he was 40 yards behind.
Which one?
Cole's. Yeah, on every tee shot behind Pendrith, who's very long, you know. But and look, it was lift, clean, and play, so this was all carry.
Yeah.
But Cole's average carry was 285. Pendrith was 320.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's carry, man. It was incredible. So, obviously, you know, I'm like, man, this guy's going to, you know, win going away. But Cole's hung in there, good short game. You know, he was looking pretty solid. Takes a one-shot lead going into 18. You figure he had birdied it all 3 days prior to that. And he had a good drive. He had, I think, 265 to the pin. He flushed the 3-wood. He was posing. He thought, and ends up, it carried the bunker but didn't get on the green. So it's in some rough, okay? But it's not a horrible lie. It's like one of these, like, you know, it's doable for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, I guess, you know, you're trying to win your first tournament, now Pendrith, you know, hit his shot, and he was on into probably about 45 feet. So you got to figure you guys going to make, you know, your opponent's going to make birdie.
Yeah,
so you
need he's to, not going to make a 45-footer for
right.
eagle.
But you need to birdie to win,
yeah.
And at worst, par to get in the playoff.
Now, he carries the bunker?
Yeah.
He's in the rough.
On his second shot, right.
Okay.
Then he tries to hit what's kind of like a flop shot out that rough, and it doesn't even make it on the green.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Yeah, so he ends up short of the green. Now his stance is in a bunker. The ball's out the bunker, but he's in the rough. And his stance, and he could not get a stance. He kept his feet kept sliding back. So he got it on the green in three, but he was about, I don't know, 7-8 feet away, and missed the putt for par. You know, so I
he
mean,
made
he,
a six.
Yeah, made a six. You know,
two shot swing,
oh. and Pendrith made birdie. You know, so it was just a shame that I at least wanted it to go to a playoff, but. You know, in retrospect, I'm sure if he could play it over again, he probably would lay up short of the green and wedge it in, or at least on his third shot, you got to make sure you get on the green. That was the one thing you couldn't do, and it was just, you know, just one of the they did not really. I didn't really see any interviews with him after the tournament, so I was kind of wanting to get like, you know, what was going through his mind, you know, why did it play it that way? But all the interviews were with Pendrith, you know. But,
yeah.
But you know, look, kudos to him. I mean, he's a guy that was in contention in New Orleans as well in the team event, Pendrith, and he played well over there. So
he's youngster either. He was 32.
Well, he's 32, yeah.
His 70, first win?
74 career starts on the PGA Tour. But nice score, you know, 467, 23 under par. They just kind of tore up TPC Craig Ranch. So, You know, he said, you know, just, you know, well, actually, look, there is a quote from Coles. He said, honestly, I hadn't seen any rough like that all week. And he said, I just needed a little bit more MPH on it. Did so many good things this week, and I'm just going to keep reminding myself of that and try to get myself back in this position. But, boy, it's so hard to get in that position.
Well, at that age,
you know,
34 years
34,
old,
yeah.
He's on the downside.
When you have that opportunity, you have to, you know, you really have to seize it. And there was so much riding on that. You know, you got the exemption, you know, the few. And, look, he's doing well, I mean, as far as the FedEx points and all that stuff. And then, of course, the money, you know, but still, you know, you win a tournament, you got the Masters, you know, a couple of years guaranteed on tour, and it's just a shame to kind of see how I went. But very much, except for Coles, very much an international leaderboard, as Alex Noren from Sweden is the guy who had posted at 20 under in the clubhouse, 21 under, actually. And then Aaron Rai and first round from India, and first round leader Matt Wallace of England,
wow,
were at 20 under, along with South Korean pair of S.H. Kim and Ben On. You know, so I mean, Coles was the only guy in the top like 10 that was from the USA. You know, so
you know, you're talking about a subject that I was thinking about today as I was walking in the park. You know. You know, people get aggravated, certain people get aggravated at college golf coaches for recruiting players from out of the United States, you know. Why can't we have players right here in our local community on our golf team, you know? Well, they're not as good.
Yeah,
you know?
They're not.
That's the answer, and you just verified it right there by that, you know. I mean, yeah, there are certain, you know, a number of players on the PGA Tour, like Scottie Scheffler and a host of others that are American. But there's a bunch of other ones coming from all over. You mentioned these countries, they just all over. And, I mean, if you look at the Asian tour, this kid, Kim.
Oh, yeah.
The
16-year-old, yeah.
You know, making a cut. I mean, there's Kims all over the place that are doing good stuff like this. So, Nick Dunlop, you know, I mean, people don't understand that, supporters, you know, of the programs, and I'm talking about UL particularly, because I heard one conversation with Theodore that a guy had as to why you're recruiting foreign players, you know. And Theodore tries to get a mix, you know. He tries to get some local players because he knows they're going to stay in the community and support the community and be an asset. But
to be honest, he's probably been actually too loyal to the local players, because how many of them have really panned out, you know, when you look at it, you know. And without naming names,
we don't want to discredit anybody.
But I mean, and a lot of them have actually quit on the team. You know, I mean, I'm just being honest. They, I don't know. You know, the dedication's not there. I'm not sure. They expect things to be handed to them. You know, they don't have to compete for things, and it doesn't work that way in life. You know, or in golf.
And that was my thought process. You know. Americans are spoiled. They want everything now, and everybody plays for a trophy, and everybody gets a trophy, right? So they don't know how to work hard, whereas these foreigners, they're leaving their parents to come a long way to pursue a dream, and they're serious about it, you know? They're serious about getting better to get to the next level, so they're going to work their tails off. Whereas the other kids from America, I don't know. It's just... And I don't mean to bash them, but
it's just a different mindset, and it
shows in what you just said.
No, and if you look at a lot of the successful college programs, I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, obviously, if you have a stud, you know, American player, you're going to want him on your team. But by the same token, they're going all over the world, the globe, in search of the best talent, and these guys are willingly, you know, wanting to come to the U.S. and you don't have, I find, like, I don't know exactly why, but it used to be, you know, a lot of the foreign players would come here and then get homesick, and you know, it was a very big adjustment period, but it's not like that anymore, and maybe it's because of the junior golf, you know, scene. And a lot of these junior golfers are playing in the U.S., you know, even from foreign countries, in some of these big tournaments and stuff. So maybe they're more acclimated to the to the culture and whatnot. But it was kind of I enjoyed watching it just because of the Ben Coles factor, and we had and plus, listen to this. I bet 10 cents on him, okay? 10 cents. Right. Okay, on FanDuel's, I have this account. He was plus 40,000 before the tournament started. If he had won, I'd have won $40 on a 10-cent bet, okay?
God, they let you bet that little?
Oh, yeah, that's the minimum bet. It's 10 cents. So every week I usually bet 10 cents on 10 golfers who with long odds. And this is the first time I've really had one in contention, you know? And I'm like, $40. I mean, just imagine if you had bet 100. You'd be looking at, you know, I mean, whatever that is. My math is bad, but it'd be $40,000, you know? And I'm sure there's a lot of people who did that, you know? But I was like, sweating it out. And then when he chopped up the last hole, I was like, well, there goes my 40. Not to mention my horse in the Kentucky Derby ran second by nose. So it was a bad weekend for the boxcar. As
boy,
far as,
and you would have bought him a round of beer again.
Well,
you
know, it wasn't beer. It was drink, mixed drinks. I mean, I've spent a lot of money on them boys, you know. But yeah,
that's what
he did to me. He broke my heart, you know. Oh, but yeah, I mean, it was you know, but. Look, that, you know, and kind of going back to the Zurich a week before and how fortunate we were to see some of the players we saw, because this field, you know, now again, you talk about bad positioning on the PGA Tour calendar.
Right.
You have Wells Fargo coming up this week, which is a select event.
And designated, right?
Designated, yeah. And the PGA in 2 weeks. So you only had three of the top 30 in the world ranking in the field. And Jordan Spieth was the highest at number 20, and he missed the cut for just the second time in 12 appearances at his hometown event. Defending champion Jason Day, who was 22nd in the world, and Tom Kim, 23rd, did not contend. Day finished one shot behind Kim at 9 under par. So, you know, just kind of a weak field overall, but some good storylines nevertheless. You know, there, and again, you alluded to it. The kind of a thing that gets lost in here is the Chris Kim, the 16-year-old amateur, who you know, had a rough finish. But hey, look, he beat Jordan Spieth. you know, he made the cut. He got to play 72 holes, and you know, you just have to. It's just amazing. You know, we had a 15-year-old last week we talked about.
Corn Fair, right.
And now, you know, 16-year-old, and whew, Lord, who knows where.
And like I mentioned earlier, Nick Dunlop was an Alabama, you know, golfer who won 2 months ago or so at 20 years old, you know, went in a tournament, and then all of a sudden, you know, he stays out of school and turns pro, and now he won like 53,000 or so.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, the young guys are – but, okay, so we're on the subject of young players. I'm going to ask you some questions here about oldest golfers. This list amazes me. They were talking about the oldest golfers to win on the PGA Tour. Now, this is not the Masters or the U.S. Open or the British Open or any other of the majors. It's just the PGA – well, the PGA would count. This list amazes me. At over 50 years old – of course, you know, Phil Mickelson's not one because he won the U.S. Open at, what, 51, I think?
Yeah.
Davis Love, he won at 51. Art Wall, 51. That's an old-timer. Sam Snead, 52. And these two finagle me. Craig Stadler won at 50 years in 1 month. And then Fred Funk, 50 years in 8 months.
Whew,
that's hard to believe. That those, to me, those two, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
The other ones, yeah, I get. But
what's a shame is a guy like Fred Funk in today's golf game, he wouldn't even make on the tour. He couldn't even play on the – he was so short.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, he probably averaged 250 off the tee, maybe, you know, 255.
And then none of these players have done anything on the Champions Tour.
No, you know, we talked about that. You know, the Champions Tour is just so weird. It's like – you know, like I thought Vijay Singh would dominate the Champions Tour, and he hasn't done anything there. You know, you have a guy like Bernhard Langer who was, you know, I mean, major champion. I mean, he had accolades, but boy, he just took it to a different level on the Senior Tour. You know, and
he's back. Box score.
Oh, I know.
He finished 69-74.
Oh yeah, He healed faster from his Achilles injury than Tom Brady did. Now, you know, not Tom Brady.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, yeah. I mean, just think about that for a second, okay? You know, I'm telling you.
He's Superman.
Not, no, he's not human. I mean, he's a cyborg, and we just have to come to, you know, terms with that. 3 months after rupturing his Achilles, he's, you know.
Yeah, the same type of injury as Aaron Rodgers.
The same type. And
he's back in the game and beating look, people. He beat 40 players.
Yeah, I know football is a tougher sport, but you still – quarterback drops – Aaron Rodgers is going to scramble. He drops back. He's going to plant. He's going to throw. Well, I would argue that in golf, in 72 holes of golf, you got to plant that foot more than in a football game, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, every shot is –
And then, you know, like Tiger Woods will attest to, you got to walk on that foot.
Well, exactly. You know? Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You're walking 6 miles on the foot uphill a lot of times, you know? And, again, just putting the pressure on it and, I don't know. I've run out of
– He's superhuman.
It must be his wife's gumbo is all I can see because she's from Louisiana and she probably cooks a good gumbo. I don't know.
All right. Since we're on the Champions Tour, the winner was Scott Dunlop. He was declared the winner as a rain-shortened Insperity Invitational was played at the Woodlands, Texas. Of course, they got all the rain. We got Friday. They played 36 Saturday and got rained out again Sunday. But Dunlop shot 65-71-35 for his second win and first in 10 years. 10 years, that's a long time. So he's up there in age as well.
And to think he when you look at these names, you know, you just forget about golfers over the years, you know, because times change. But he beat Joe Durant and Stuart Appleby.
Yeah.
And Stuart Appleby, Ted, back in the 70s and 80s, well, not 70s. I guess I started watching golf, really. I started playing in 82, so probably the 90s. That was one of my favorite golfers, man. And I'll never forget when his wife got tragically killed in London.
Yeah.
They were like newlyweds, and she, you know, the car backed into her and, you know, lost her life. But, man, I love Stuart Appleby. And I forgot he was even on the senior tour. I hadn't heard his name in forever, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, you mentioned Tiger a little bit back. So the PGA is coming up in a couple of weeks, and Tiger's going to participate in that May 16th through 19th at Valhalla in Kentucky. And then Tiger also got a special exemption and invitation to play in the United States Open Championship at Pinehurst the following month. They only issue 10-year exemptions. The U.S. Open as a Masters of your lifetime, PGA lifetime. But they were issued a special exemption to Tiger Woods, who has won 9 USGA events, 3 juniors, 3 amateurs, and 3 opens. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
no other player's ever done that.
He should have a lifetime.
They don't give him out.
They should. I know. They should have a special category.
But
for
listen to this. The 3 other players have gotten these special exemptions through the years. One, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, and Tom Watson. So
that's a good category.
USGA knows what they're doing.
Good company, yeah.
They got it right. You know?
For sure. I'm going to have to take a little break, Ted. But
But
I did want to mention, like, another thing that kind of
– We can take a break.
I'm not going to say shocked me this week, but another big-time, you know, caddy player split, you know. And it seems like, you know, we got so used over the years to seeing certain caddies with certain players. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like it would be a lifetime bond. And this isn't a huge news because the player's kind of washed up anyway, and the caddy.
Caddy's pretty old.
I'm not sure how he can even still walk. You know? Yeah. But, Fluff and Jim Furyk, you know, announced their split this week, you know, so.
And jokingly, Fluff's been caddying spotting for C.T. Pan, you know, who's a young upcoming player. And Jim Furyk said, "You better stay with him. Do I need to fire you so you can stay over there, you know, with him?"
Well, that's actually nice of Jim Furyk because that's kind of what happened, really, with Ted Scott, you know, because Bubba Watson, when he went to LIV, just said, "Hey, look, you know, I think you can – I'm not playing well. You know, I'm and I'm sure Ted Scott didn't want to go follow the LIV Tour anyway, but Bubba basically told him, hey, go find you a better bag. And, boy, did he ever do that.
Boy,
you know?
You're not kidding me.
Now, I'm not, you know, and speaking of that, by the way, how overblown was the story at the Masters about Scottie Scheffler's wife going into labor?
She still hadn't had a baby.
She still hadn't had the baby.
It's mythical.
I mean, you know, my goodness. You know, so she wasn't even 8 months pregnant, when, basically, you know, and it just goes to show you just have to take.
He's got another chance at the PGA. He might have to withdraw there.
Yeah, well, that's a
much better chance.
You know,
they just missed a month.
Now, do you think the PGA is going to actually fine him this week for not playing in the event? Because it's kind of like there's no exemptions for that, right? I mean, if you don't play,
right?
Because how much they fine Rory for that time he missed it? It was a lot of money, man.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I mean, not relative to their, you know, to
right,
them.
Yeah.
But it still was a big penalty, and he's missing, you know, Wells Fargo because baby could show up any minute. You know, I guess. You know, who knows?
Well, when you're the number one player in the world,
you get
away with stuff.
He's not sweating it out.
Hey,
but
speaking of caddies, Tommy Fleetwood has been on both sides of the caddy issue here. He was a caddy himself on the recent Challenge Tour, caddying for his stepson, Oscar Craig. And then it was also announced that his caddy had undergone open heart surgery.
Yeah, I saw that.
Ian Finnis. And they've been friends since they were teenagers. So Tommy Fleetwood's might have to caddy for himself if he did so well caddying for his stepson Oscar Craig. We'll have
and
to see.
not a real old caddy either. You know, to undergo open heart surgery.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And you know, hopefully he'll come back. And that's a guy that I've always liked, Tommy Fleetwood.
I do too.
You know, I just wish he would.
Get rid of that tag, that moniker.
Yeah, best player never won. You know?
Yeah, never won in the United States.
Yeah,
that doesn't register with me.
I know, because, I mean, his nickname was Fairway Jesus, you know, because he looked like Jesus and would hit so many fairways,
yeah.
You know. And boy, for a long time, he was just a very constant fixture at the top of leaderboards. I mean, top tens, bunch of times, you know, and I know – every year in the Masters, he would get picked in that pool that, you know, kind of circulates around here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
sure.
He'd always, you know, he'd always come out. He'd make the cut. He'd finish, you know, top 20, top 10. But, man, that's a rough, you know, rough thing to overcome.
Yeah.
And I used to think it was because he was splitting his time so much between the European with the DP World Tour and here. But now, not so much. I mean, he's pretty much full-time.
Yeah, he's getting, you know, up there in age, too, though. So.
PGA Tour, but, I mean, he just hadn't had this success.
And then the other championship, the Open Championship this year is going to be played at Royal Troon, and it's going to have the distinction this year of having two holes that are going to set records for the British Open or the Open Championship. The longest hole is going to be number 6, playing at 323 yards, and the shortest hole, number 8, at 99 yards. And that's also called the postage stamp hole. And Tony Landry got me this information.
That's a cool little hole, though.
Postage stamp hole. That's great.
Yeah.
The Open Championship has denied Craig Norman of a ticket to get into the tournament.
Wow.
So he has to go buy his own ticket, and he'll have to do that by other means. So.
He had to do that at the Masters as well, and he did, and you know, was
he got in,
was prominent among the patrons and seemed to enjoy himself. You know, it's a shame because
it is.
Again, back in the day, I used to love Greg Norman. I mean, I bought Cobra golf clubs because that's what Greg Norman played, and to see, you know, kind of how he single-handedly, you know, I'm not even going back to the Saudi thing. But even before that, he had something out for the PGA Tour. I don't know what it was, you know. But he envisioned this world tour for a long time,
yeah.
You know, way before the Saudis jumped on board. And it just seemed like he takes a lot of delight in kind of how things have gone. And
Yeah, to think he's a two-time Open champion, you know.
Yeah.
They denied one of their own. They wouldn't even let him into the champions dinner last year.
That's
or
incredible.
Year before, whatever it was.
But
yeah, that is. That's pretty they have pretty much a cold stance towards him.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I mean, it's just a shame how things have happened. And I just can't help but think if we had gone back to the leadership the PGA used to have, you know, under Dean Beaman, and you know, it's just so bad right now. I don't know.
Yeah, and this live thing's making it worse. But, you know, adversity is making it better, I think, because they're playing for more money. It seems to be the tournaments are thriving. You know, the crowds are there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know,
no,
so,
I mean,
maybe.
And look, Teddy, there's some really, really good young players coming up.
Man, that's what's exciting.
I'm not kidding. Even if all these live golfers would still be competing on the PGA Tour, Brooks Koepka and those guys, they'd be having a hard time, you know, with some of these young guns, man. It's different. It's just they play a different game. They don't know the fear factor because Tiger's not out there anymore.
It's exactly the point I was going to make.
They have no fear factor. You know, who are they scared of?
They're not even scared of
Scotty. Scotty Scheffler's a nice guy, great golfer, but he doesn't put fear
he's
in
not
you.
He's not intimidating.
You know, no. You put a little bit of Vaseline on his shoe when he slips, man, he's out, you know. Like Bill Murray said, you know, I'll just cut his calf, you know. He'll never walk again.
Yeah.
Oh, let me take a little break, Ted.
Okay, well, we're going to have to wrap it up.
All right, well, I'll hang with
two
you.
Two more minutes.
Okay, I can do that.
Right, Ricky Fowler, he was seen at Pine Valley, one of the iconic golf courses in all of the United States. He made a hole-in-one on the famous par 3 third hole, playing alongside Justin Thomas. Of course, Pine Valley has that famous member named Jimmy Dunn, and he's on that board that's liaison board that's trying to negotiate with the LIV players in the PGA Tour.
Now, before
Jimmy Dunn, a big amateur golfer,
before he passed away, Kenley got to play Pine Valley, right?
Yes, he did. Yeah, and he met that guy Jimmy Dunn.
Wow.
Because Gail Sanchez is a member at Pine Valley as well as Seminole, and he played both courses with Sanchez and
that's
met
incredible.
Jimmy Dunn. You know,
so, that's incredible.
Yep. Then for the U.S. Open, NBC broadcasting it has selected Brando Chamblee, who's with the Golf Channel, as we all know. Controversial guy, kind of like Johnny Miller was back in the day.
Yep.
I'm not for him or against him. You know, he does what he does, and he does it well. But he will be alongside Dan Hicks, Mike Tirico, and Brad Faxon in broadcasting the United States Open. In fact, Chamblee and Hicks will have the even number of holes, and Tirico and Faxon will have the odd number of holes, kind of like what they did in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, you can go watch whoever you want broadcast. We can go watch the broadcast.
Hicks is very good. I like him a lot.
Yeah, that's a good team.
And Tirico's good, too. He's, you know.
He's very precise.
Faxon, he's kind of, you know. He's
a golfer.
Not really.
Totally, yeah, he needs to stay a golfer, kind of like me.
But Chamblee uses too many big words. I mean, he loses me a lot of times. I don't hate him because he's very anti-live and he's kind of stood up for the PGA Tour, but for a guy who only won one tour event in his lifetime, he
could putt.
He's like a legend in his own mind. I mean,
I wish he'd come home and watch my little grandson Drew putt, maybe give him some lessons. And so Jim's Bone McKay is going to be along with Roger Maltby be the on-course announcers. I like Roger Maltby.
Oh, I love Roger Maltby.
Yeah. And Bones is doing a good job out there as well, former caddy for Phil Mickelson, right?
Yep.
And then Gary Koch, Baton Rouge native, played for University of Florida along when I played for LSU. He's going to be the hole announcer.
And Gary Koch, a former high school classmate of our friend Jim Reed.
That's right, in Florida.
Same high school together, and I don't think Jim went out for the golf team, but Gary Koch was on the golf team back at that high school. And Jim had his surgery today, so hopefully everything went well. I'll try to call him later, you know, and find out. But,
good. Yeah. All right, we'll go take a break, and we'll wrap it up. Don't forget, coming up is one of the Catholic Eye Coaches Show, one of the final ones. Tony Landry, the voice of the Panthers, along with Coach Desimo, will be talking all Catholic Eye sports after the news. Stay tuned for that. See y'all next time.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
GolfBalls.com carries the latest selection of golf balls, clubs, and gear from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, and Callaway. Get custom fit in our state-of-the-art golf simulator or shop our selection of high-quality apparel from Vineyard Vines, Southern Tide, and Mad Birdie. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611.